Paula, don't you hate when there's a person in your life that just seems like they have everything? Ugh. Like, what do you get them?
Exactly. What gift do you get them?
I have the answer. What about if you could dedicate an entire episode of Wait, What? For them.
Oh my God, I would pay thousands for that.
Thousands? Calm down.
What? How much are we charging?
Just a small fee of $50. No kidding.
Oh my God, the perfect gift. And then they get to hear their name on air.
Exactly. They get to hear their name on air. We're going to basically dedicate the episode to them. And if you really want to be, you know, kind of a memorable gift giver, you add their name on it for $75.
Oh my God.
Right? So we'll name the entire
episode. Name the episode after the person. And then if they want to choose the topic.
Oh, even better.
$100 includes all of it.
And listen, this is a gift that keeps on giving. Not only is it an episode that has them in it, but think about the possibilities of what you can do. You could have like a listening slumber party. You know, like if you're having
a birthday.
So guys, if you're looking for a unique and very affordable gift, go over to our website at waitwhatpodcast.com and click on that merchandise tab and pick what you want and dedicate an episode to your loved one.
Or your enemies, whoever.
Or yourself. You deserve it.
She would make these little dolls and she'd pull everyone to the back bedroom to see the dolls she made, and she'd lift up their skirts and they just had like genitalia.
What the?
I mean, not that it would be normal, just be like, you know what, I believe in anatomically correct
but
dolls.
But to like get in the room, like, let me
show what
you
I did.
My stitch snatch.
But look on him, the stitch dick.
Nobody wants to admit they believe in ghosts.
There are just a lot of unanswered questions, and most people would be like,
I like how people react when they hear about our podcast.
We were right.
There are things back here.
I don't want milk. It was a miracle. We must explain it.
Hey, Paula, I see you.
Oh, I see you.
Oh, so we see each other?
We see each other.
You guys are probably like, did they have a stroke? What the?
Maybe. But also,
the reason we are doing that is because this episode is especially dedicated to Cece for Cece's birthday. Hi, Cece.
Happy birthday, our new best friend.
So today we are going to be sitting here talking to Cece about weird and crazy shit.
Oh, yeah.
But before we get started, just to kind of let Cece know who was behind all this.
You are loved, girl.
You are loved especially by Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
Rebecca reached out to us. She wrote us the sweetest letter. So do you mind if I read it?
Please read it.
Okay. So she said, Paula and Elaine, my best friend in the world introduced me to your show. Thanks, Cece. This June, and thank the heavens above and plausibly our alien ancestors.
Love that.
That she did. I know, right? Love her. I have been spending so much time alone, along with many others these days. Yuck. But I've been laughing out loud more than ever because of you two and being thoroughly creeped out along the way as a bonus.
If I had a nickel.
Right? It's what we do best.
Creepy gals.
Creepy little dick joke thrown in. Why not? So I wanted to dedicate a show to that best friend of mine since childhood, Cece. Her birthday is September 23rd. I hope it's not too short of a notice. She and I have always shared our paranormal experiences with each other, and I'd love to share them with you ladies. But I'll send a separate email for that one, which we'll get to.
Mm-hmm.
But she wanted to send a separate email out of respect for the beloved Cece, because everybody loves Cece.
Everyone loves Cece.
I love Cece.
I already love Cece.
Right? She said, I know she tunes in every week because we talk about your show constantly.
Aww.
Low-key obsessed with you guys. Sorry, not sorry. I want to thank you for seeming effortlessly making a show full of your authentic humor for the topics you cover. You're welcome. It's our pleasure. I want to make Cece feel extra love this year, and I know she'd feel the love from you two on a scale that one cannot measure. So, and then she wrote a actual note to Cece. So, Cece, this is for you. She wanted to tell you happy birthday to the one and only Cece. She's probably listening to this while painting, drinking coffee, and being absolutely perfect.
Oh.
God, I love her.
I know.
And honestly, who doesn't love Cece? Who doesn't love Cece, Paula?
Everyone in this room loves her.
let me know so I can low-key go to their house and kick their ass.
No, oh, yeah. You've got a posse now, Cece.
Okay, I'm not gonna pollute this sweet note anymore.
With our violent tendencies?
Right, with our violent
tendencies. We show love through violence.
Exactly. Sorry. The only ones who've never seen her is the ones that don't love her. Cece is the kind of friend everyone needs. She's the go-to when things get weird, and how the things do get weird and unexplainable, paranormal sometimes. Mm. But when you talk to Cece and share something totally unbelievable and terrifying, you'll walk away from the conversation feeling lighter from laughter. Aww. And more curious about the world and its mysteries. It's a feeling I want everyone to have because we all have stories, but not everyone has a Cece.
Oh, we do now.
But this podcast totally hits the spot. You feel like you're hanging out with very hilarious, caffeinated, and equally curious friends. You are. You get to share experiences and talk about everything you're usually too freaked out to talk about. But you can if it's in a safe and bingeable space because you end up laughing so dang much in the process. Thanks for sharing this 1010 podcast with me, Cece. I love you long time. Can I say that in a racist way? Because I'm Asian.
Well, you're Asian, so you can do it.
I love you long time. And once again, happy birthday, wee wee.
Oh my God. I love Rebecca and I love Cece. Wouldn't it be great to meet them at a live show one day?
That's a must.
And we're talking backstage. Like, we need to hang out with you.
Right. So Rebecca lives in Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh my God. I lived in the, well, you know, I lived in the UP for 11 years. I'm sure I've mentioned that.
Yep. And Cece and her husband live in Philadelphia.
Oh my God!
So there's two places that we can meet up with Rebecca and Cece.
Yes, yes, yes. So. Oh, that's wonderful! Happy birthday, Cece!
Happy birthday, Cece! We have got some shit to talk about with Cece today. Mm-hmm. But Rebecca's gonna lead the way.
Yes, she is. She sent us an eerie story, and I'll just read the whole email. Yay. She says, "Elaine and Paula, I want to share some of my."
I'm here.
Correct.
I'm listening.
Fully present. I want to share some of my unnerving but incredible experiences I've had working in healthcare. It's funny how often we've heard people in healthcare
talk about they experience some stuff because they're right there at, you know, either death's
door. The start
door
of life or the end or of
birth
life.
Door. Yeah, yeah, you went positive. I went to death's door. And you're like, and also when life begins.
You know, the circle of life. You're like, when they leave kicking and screaming. It's like, whoa.
Tone it down. Sip more Monster. Calm down.
Yeah, have a little more caffeine. I've been a nurse for a little over 2 years now and worked as a nurse's aide for four years before that. The story includes one of the first encounters I had as a newbie caregiver that was truly perplexing and to this day makes my eyes water when I talk about it.
What's with eyes watering when people get scared?
I know. Why is that?
My sphincter tingles.
So there's also that. Is it tingling right now?
I have a feeling it's about to.
I have never in my life, this is the first time I've asked someone if their sphincter was tingling. Maybe Rebecca has asked, and maybe it's part of the diagnosis.
But her eyes water. Eyes are watering because I talked about my sphincter tickling so openly. Cece, now you know things about
me. Wow.
Okay, sorry.
I didn't even know that about Elaine, and we see each other on a regular basis.
Read the story. I'm prepared to have my sphincter tickled.
Oh, God, that's all I'm going to think about. Is it tingling now? Is it tingling now? Is it tingling now? Did that make it tingle?
I'll tell you at the end, okay?
All right. In 2014, I came in early for my 6 a.m. shift at 3 a.m. instead. Eek! I know now that's not a good hour.
Oh,
right? The witching hour. The
witching hour.
Oh, Rebecca.
What a shift.
So she came in to help out the short-staffed night shift. I was just arriving and walking down the hall toward the nurse's station to check in. Looking into a room as I passed it, I saw a patient who looked incredibly distressed. Mm. I immediately went into the room to assess the situation. I was still holding on to some of my personal items, clutching a coffee, aka my life source. We gotcha!
Yeah.
I'm clutching my life source right now. Let me take a sip.
Chug the Monster. Caffeine is so good.
Drink, motherfucker. That's like a drinking song.
Is it? Right? Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Drinking chant.
Oh.
Let's see. He appeared to be having trouble breathing and was an awful color. I tried to ask him some questions, but I knew he was dying after looking into his eyes.
Oh, shit.
No, I know that. And knew. I mean, she'd been...
Yeah.
Yeah. I dropped everything, then ran down the hall the rest of the way to the nurse's station to get the nurse. But there was nothing to be done to help him. Aww. I learned this patient didn't want to be resuscitated, mm-hmm. so I stayed with him for a few minutes, comforting him until he died. So you see a pattern here? Like, Rebecca's a very caring person. Mm-hmm. I would want you at my deathbed, Rebecca. I'm sure you would too, huh, Cece? Is it tingling?
Not yet.
Not yet.
It's about to.
Okay. NAC duties, or maybe it's NAC. I don't know what it sounds. Maybe nurse. Mm-hmm. Whatever that means. NAC duties and post-mortem care includes preparing the body to be seen by family and or transportation to the morgue or funeral home, depending on the predetermined wishes of the dead. The nurse started making calls to his family, and I started the post-mortem care. Unfortunately, it took me a long time to clean up his body alone because, like I mentioned, we were short-staffed and because of the mess his body left behind.
Oh, oh, Rebecca.
Ooh, tell me more. To this day, it was the absolute worst I've ever had to deal with. But don't worry. I'll spare you the details, but it was horrendous. I almost wish for details, but I mean, it's probably better not to have them.
That's what makes her sphincter tingle. Details.
It started to rise up, and then I was like, oh no, no details this time.
Right, now it's just numb.
And that was just a resting sphincter.
All right. a sphincter at rest, if you will.
If you will. However, my mindset has always been to try my best to treat the dead and dying how I would want my loved ones to be cared for and how I would want to be cared for no matter what the situation. I continued to show the utmost respect toward him, even though I didn't know him personally. So through the brutal post-mortem care, I continued to be gentle and spoke to him kindly using his name and the names of family members I had gleaned from his information, hoping that if he was still listening, that he would feel comforted, knowing that they were being informed. Mm-hmm. As the shift progressed, some very strange things transpired. Mm. I went into the dining room to prepare it for breakfast for the residents, a regular and simple task. I immediately noticed it was freezing in there. I know. It's mm-hmm. a sign.
It's a sign.
The thermostat said it was in the 70s, I think, but it felt so much colder than that. I remember. I turned up the heat and tried to turn on the lights. The lights wouldn't turn on. Electricity.
Bye. Right?
You're on your own. See, that's why she's in that field. Exactly. Where she continues to be caring. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I'm driving through. I need to go eat some vegan.
Right.
She said, that's weird, I thought. I tried again and again thinking to myself, am I extra special today? Why can't I figure out how
extra
to make this
special.
Work? I know. The answer is yes. Defeated after all toggling attempts, I went to my friend Jen, a fellow NAC and very badass spiritual energy reading individual, mind you. Ooh, I want to meet Jen sometime too.
I know.
And she brought her to the dining room to help. I did feel a bit in that moment having to ask for help to turn on some stupid... to turn on stupid lights.
Yeah.
It was still cold and dark in there in spite of the blasting heater.
Oh, sorry.
Did it stop recording?
No, it's fine. I thought it was. I was like, what the fuck? Sorry, go ahead.
Was that a mini stroke?
Well, Audacity had a mini stroke.
Close enough.
Okay, go.
Let's see. It was still cold and dark in there in spite of the blasting heater I had turned on in a panic. She knew what had happened earlier with me that morning, and I told her I felt eerie in there alone. She flickered around with the switches, and the lights still failed to turn on. She shivered and wrapped her arms around her shoulder, noting the chill in the air. I was a bit relieved to see her having a hard time deciphering the situation as well. Phew, it's not just me having a brain fart. Then she let out an aha, a short laugh, and then something made my eyes water. And something that made my eyes water. She said, you must have a new friend hanging around you today. I've had this happen before plenty of times.
Ooh.
I know.
Ooh.
She said this is, she said this so matter of fact, hoping the explanation would somehow comfort me. Yeah, that would not be comforting.
I would just be like, like swatting at my shoulders.
I know.
They need a move it along party.
Yes, they need a move it along. Get.
Get now.
Jen was like a big sister to me, protecting me and teaching me, especially a newbie to healthcare at that time. She must have read my face and saw I was thoroughly freaked out, so she took it upon herself to clap back at the presence. Jen addressed the presence somewhat lightly, but altogether undisturbed. And thinking about it now, she probably simply didn't want to get too veered off course of our busy morning schedule. She said, "Hey now, whoever you are, we have to give the other residents some breakfast here soon, so we will need this space back. And you better be nice to this girl."
Aww.
I know. I like
Jen. I think that's like the general take on when if there's ghosts, the first thing you do, you know, besides having an exorcism.
Yeah.
Is to talk to them first. Like,
or see if you can reason with
them. Like, yeah, like be firm and have a move it along party.
Yeah, have a little move it along party. Right. It can be easy and gentle.
Yeah, yeah.
At least try that.
I know.
Okay. God's sake.
God's sakes.
Let's see.
Sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. I should have kept my space.
That's okay.
Oh, the lights in the dining room came on moments after that. And then it was suddenly approximately 1,000 degrees in the closed up dining room with the heater blasting.
Oh, wow.
We both exclaimed at the heater and were pulling our scrubs away from our sweaty necks as we quickly turned down the thermostat, opened up the doors, and carried on with the morning. Side note, it wasn't the last time she would save my hiney from both the living and the dead. I was so lucky to work with her. She's a real one. We shared our experience with the other staff that day, I remember. Other NACs and nurses confirmed similar experiences. Oh. They commented on how these strange things happen regularly after patients and residents die. Electrical glitches, cold spaces, call lights turning on when no one's in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that feeling like you're being watched. Eek! Mm-hmm. I like how she says eek.
Eek.
All things with alternative explanations, of course, to some. However, when clustered together on an irritating level while you're working... makes you wonder how and why the dead try to communicate, because clearly there's a correlation there and we see it firsthand. I learned that all sorts of disturbances are considered part of the job and of course might seem crazy to people on the outside, but I was encouraged to just keep moving and told to write all experiences down as my career progressed.
Yes, definitely. And then send them to us.
Send them to us. I hope this is the first of many.
Oh, yay. So she was thinking the same thing.
No, I was saying that.
Oh.
Did I say it in a reedy voice?
Yeah.
And this was the first of many, period.
You did say it in a reedy voice.
What transpired during the rest of the shift told me I wasn't exactly being left alone, even though I thought Jen asked rather nicely. More strange electrical issues were jokingly blamed on me by staff for the rest of the day, because clearly I was the one with the presence attached to me somehow. Ugh.
God.
But the worst comments for me came during separate interactions with some residents I took care of and who had dementia.
Oh.
I went to wake a resident I was very familiar with. We always spoke coherently while getting her ready for the day, so I was concerned when she seemed to be babbling that morning when I walked in. Lying on her bed she was talking as if she was answering questions.
Ooh.
I know. It's like when kids do that. Uh-huh. Like you had Lorraine.
Yeah,
do
yeah. That. Like, ugh.
Confused, I asked her to explain what she was talking about, and she very politely replied, "Oh, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the person behind you."
No.
She pointed past me and leaned to the side as if to remove me from her line of vision.
Ew.
So she could see behind me.
How are you going to be the third wheel?
Of a ghostly encounter.
Oh.
My physical response to that was overwhelming. I was tingling all over, eyes basically pouring out tears. All my body hair stood on end. I love the visual. But I remembered how Jen handled herself. I decided to acknowledge the presence. I said to the resident that I don't see what they're seeing, but I believed her and I carried on.
Uh-huh.
Later on, another female resident with dementia asked who I was working with that day.
What the fuck?
See? I mean, when it's consistent like that.
Oh my God. And the people with dementia are seeing it. So they're, whatever their brain is going through, that kind of filter where we filter out things.
I mean, it'd be interesting if dementia is just accidentally leaving your plane of existence and stepping into another one. Like, you're not crazy,
right?
But you don't fit anymore.
Exactly. You're kind of that in between. Your brain is not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
In varying degrees. So, well, she's talking to her in one, but seeing this person that no one else is seeing.
Right. I mean, when Brad's grandma suffered from dementia, she saw and spoke to people all the time.
Oh my God. Let's see. Okay, so that second resident with dementia, she was helping her to sit in a comfortable recliner when she asked that. Who was she working with that day? I didn't understand what she was asking at first, so I started to name the other NACs on shift that day. Sometimes we had NAC students shadow us, so I added there were no students around today. But she clarified her question and asked, but what about the man who has been with you today?
Ay, ay, ay.
I literally just got the chills.
Oh my God.
And I... tingling. It's tingling.
It's spread out to my whole nether region. No, I'm just kidding.
It has blossomed into a large and active tingle.
Yes.
Whoa. And I replied, you mean with me right now? Turning around to see no one else in the room. She nodded yes in a matter-of-fact way.
Oh, fuck.
Okay, now this wasn't just confusion or coincidence. At that moment, I completely broke down. I had to walk off the floor, take a break, try to ease my mind over what I was experiencing. It felt like a dream, yet I was in awe of the undeniable experiences I had. I still don't know what to think. I only know what happened that day made me realize that there's a whole lot more going on than we perceive outright. So I try to live in a way that hopefully puts the best possible vibes out there. I have had experiences as a nurse especially that continue to make me ask, wait, what? Good for you
nice
for working
plug,
that in.
Nice Rebecca. Bravo.
Well done. Well done. But I think this was a good one to start with. I'd love to hear about other healthcare workers with experiences as well.
Yes.
So please, healthcare workers, write to us.
Yes, write in. Oh my God.
I know. And she says, I think we share unique situations involving death that lend insight into so much of the unknown. To wrap this up, I just want to say that I seriously love your show. I listen to the podcast and follow your Insta because, you know, Odd Squad. I feel like we're friends. That's totally weird, but true.
No, it's not.
Oh, my God. No, the weirder, the better. The weirder, the more, the closer of friends we are.
Right, right. It's not weird to think that we're friends. We feel like we're friends with random people.
Yeah.
Especially the very quiet French.
The very quiet French.
38% of our listening. And yet... my gosh.
Her name is Rebecca May Nixon.
Rebecca May Nixon.
From Wisconsin.
And I've seen...
I love Wisconsin.
And Rebecca's very active on Instagram. She likes her stuff and comments and stuff. So thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you, Rebecca. Cece, what did you think of your friend Rebecca?
Oh, Cece, you pick the best kind of friends.
Mm-hmm.
And for you people who are just tuning in...
Yeah.
New people are just tuning in that you're probably like, what the hell are they doing? This is a podcast. A comedy podcast about all things strange and odd. And your hosts are me, Elaine.
Oh, I'm like, I really like Elaine's voice.
And
Paula.
And we have a show every week on Friday. So there goes the introduction to the people who are like, just
and it's called
Wait, What? And these people writing in are Odd Squads, and you're part of the Odd Squad too. Especially Cece. Cece's on Top Tier Odd Squad.
Top Tier Odd Squad.
Top Tier Odd Squad. So, is there anything else aside from that? What's been going on in your life?
What's been going on? Let me see. Where's my...
your notes.
Oh, no, that one. Because I had a couple little things. Oh, the other day when we... or the other week, maybe it was last week, we... wished Venus a happy birthday as a regular listener.
Yes.
And I just didn't add that she's my niece.
Oh.
And I just, it's been on my mind because I absolutely love Venus and I want it clear that she belongs to me.
So Venus is, yes.
She and my nephew have a relationship.
And I knew that and I was just like, yeah, all right. Like I didn't even say it either. So yeah. Okay.
So I just wanted that out there that
well
she's my niecey.
That Venus is your niecey.
Yeah.
I thank you for kind of heading it off on Corrections Corner, because I was listening to our previous episode, the episode before this, where I was talking about Adamski and, was it Adamski? Whatever. The guy that met the aliens. And I kept going, in 1950, and then we were talking about drugs. I'm like, well, it was the 70s. Well, it was the 70s.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
I totally was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
You were time traveling.
I was time traveling. So, just, that's my Corrections Corner. I don't know if anybody noticed that.
It was funny. I listened to it and did not pick up on it.
But I was just like, what? Because you said something about, like, remember we were joking around about how it was going to be hard to communicate with him because there was no texting or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, because I was talking about emailing.
And I'm like, yeah, but it's the 70s or something like that. And I'm like, you're an idiot. It was the 50s. That's
basically
it.
Same technology in the 50s and 70s.
But still, I said it like three times. And I'm like, and you know what's funny? I almost never listen to our podcast once it's on.
Yeah.
Because I edit it.
Yeah, you listen when you're editing.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, but yesterday I was waiting for something and I was in the car and I was like, I'm just going to play it just to see how it plays in like my car speakers. Yeah. And that's how I noticed it.
Oh, I listen every week.
Yeah, I don't understand why I didn't notice it when I was editing.
I'm surprised I didn't notice it.
Well, good. I guess I'm the only one that noticed.
Yeah, so disregard.
Disregard what I said. Any other corrections corner?
Not corrections corner, but I do. Are we done with corrections?
I think so.
I just, because the ones that I should actually give this to you on the show, and I think so, because you know Elaine no longer works at Schmerschmassel.
Oh my God.
And we have a particular guy, friend, Tim, who makes these beautiful cards. And he made an exceptional one for Elaine. And people like don't always sign all the cards, but like this one.
Oh my God.
I'm telling you, her leaving was a big deal to everyone. Like, I mean, people were upset. People just absolutely love you. You're our Cece.
This makes me want to cry.
I mean, I got tears. I read a couple of them and I a few. No, people wrote long, people had short, sweet messages. There were a lot of long messages.
I'm tearing up. Stop it.
No, you tear.
I'm not reading this right now.
No.
You can't do this to me right now, Paula.
I can and I will. No, it was so sweet. So Tim told me to bring it to you.
Who wrote this?
She makes me laugh until I make yellow water. I think that was Tim.
I thank you so much for giving me this.
No, and Tim, he's truly an artist. The way he puts these cards. Maybe you could post it online or something.
Oh, I'm so posting it online.
Because it's, I mean, look at how people were like really working through feelings.
Oh my God.
No, it's serious.
Margaret wrote the longest.
Oh my God, you have to see what else Margaret did. So there are a lot of visitors to Hearst Castle who were big in the film industry once upon a time. One of them being Luella Parsons. Here, let me point out that
one. Yes. Sorry.
No, because I just want you to read it. So Margaret, as Luella Parsons, let's see. Oh, there it is. She put in a notation from Luella Parsons in the card. Luella Parsons was a big gossip columnist in the day.
So she put, review from Hearst Publication. Matthew McConaughey may be the star, but Elaine Chaney shines in Tiptoes. She has never looked lovelier. How did she know about Tiptoes? Is making sense.
She came to me and said, what was that movie Elaine was in?
Oh my God.
I think Tiptoes. I looked it up to make sure. I'm like, yeah, definitely Tiptoes. She said, because I was thinking about putting a review from Luella Parsons. I said, that's such a great idea.
I can't even take it.
No, I mean, no, Margaret's having, like, everyone, and we have so many different personalities up there. Elaine, it makes me want to cry.
It makes me want to cry.
But Elaine touches all of them. Like, it's just,
why are you doing this to me?
Because, you know what? I think Cece wants to know.
Cece, this is a special moment for both of us. Okay, let's stop crying. Come on.
Okay, but that's okay to cry too. We cry sometimes.
Not me. I don't do this.
It's part of our personal
growth.
And
the thing is, I was supposed to have this boohoo moment like two Saturdays ago, which was going to be my last day, remember? And then, of course, I mean, there's bigger problems in the world. I mean, there was fires, terrible fires.
Well, there are many
parallel
lives. I mean, yours is as valid as any other.
Yeah, but this is terrible fires happened and we weren't able to do it, which was unfortunate. So I didn't get...
Yeah, we were smoked out. Yeah.
I didn't get to say... And that's also me. I did not want to say goodbye.
I know you manifested.
Yeah, so every time somebody would say goodbye, I'm like, still here Saturday, Let's save it all for Saturday.
And then Saturday didn't come.
And I was like, fuck, I never say goodbye.
The whole place was shut down. We're shut down to the public anyway because of COVID.
Yeah,
but we're still doing a lot of, we're doing online tours now. Correct. We're creating a lot of content, so we're still there.
Yeah.
But we weren't there for a week because of the smoke.
So, which is unfortunate, but I am writing cards to people that I need you. Poor Paula's being the, like, go ahead.
No, but I relive the horror of Elaine's departure. No, it's totally fine. I don't mind that.
Okay, good.
And it really is, it's touching. It's really touching to see that in everybody we work with.
It is. And I always said it, and I will still say it, you know, this is one of the best jobs I've ever had. And the people I've met there are one of the best people ever. Completely friendly.
Yes.
Like, off the bat.
The good ones are, which is like 99%, are amazingly good. Yeah, they, I mean, it's changed my life to know these people. And I still work there.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
yeah,
you know, so, until COVID's over and we go on the road. And then I know. I won't work there anymore.
And then we'll have to just, you know what? Maybe it happened for a reason that I didn't get to jump in the pool because it's, we need to jump together.
Yeah.
That's what we've been manifesting.
It is. So maybe this is a step toward
that. Correct. So, I mean, I'm not doubting you, universe. You've done so good so far. So.
Yeah. Because that's the thing. She's talking about jumping in the pool because there are two magnificent swimming pools at Hearst Castle. The indoor is the Roman pool, and there's a 10 feet up, a concrete diving platform, and our tradition is that we get to jump in in our uniform, usually in the uniform when we leave, and that's what Elaine missed.
Yeah.
But okay, not forever.
Process. We're going to process this, Cece, okay? Process it with us.
Process.
So, do you go first?
Right? Oh, I think so.
You go first.
Okay, even though I read that long thing, is that right?
Why?
I'm the wrong thing. The long, wonderful story.
No.
But is it okay?
It's fine.
All right.
You talk too much. You speak too much.
Your turn is over, Paula.
So, what's your story for Cece?
Okay. Well, first, Cece, I have this tiny little news blurb I wanted to mention. Did you see in the news that this woman she's from Hickman County, Tennessee, and she got her driver's license in the mail,
okay,
and her picture was an empty chair? And she was like, to her mom or someone, she's like, I have to show you this. This ain't right.
She started having like questions, like she goes to the mirror, like,
do you see me?
Am I here?
It was hilarious. There was a picture of the empty chair. For whatever reason, when they snapped a picture, maybe they did a test shot, who knows, but it ended up in her file. So when her license was renewed, the computer grabbed the last photo in her file.
Was nobody looking at these prior to?
I just can't believe.
Oh, so she has an interesting fashion choice.
Huh.
Huh. So her aesthetic.
So you're pulled over and you're like,
chair. That's so my aesthetic. Canal,
I'm not lying when I say I weigh 12 pounds.
Right. That's one way to do it. Oh my God.
So that was just a funny side note.
Too funny.
Now, my story today is about the Spider Gates Cemetery in Leicester. They have these words that look like they should be pronounced one way, but I was looking online because they don't pronounce all the syllables.
Let's just go ahead and say that we will butcher things that are not American.
Let's just say that.
Well, no, I'm not even going to say that. I butcher things that are American.
Let's just say we butcher things.
And let's all just embrace it. And let's be okay with it, and on we go.
Yeah, we accept.
Cece's fine with it, so that's all that matters.
Are you fine with it, Cece?
Cece's fine with it.
Again, happy birthday. So, the Spider Gate Cemetery. My sources are TryToScareMe.me, SciFi.com, TheGhostDiaries.com, AlienExpanse.com. So, the Spider Gate Cemetery is a small Quaker cemetery in Leicester, Massachusetts. It is an operating cemetery, also known as the Eighth Gate to Hell.
Oh, that's comforting. Where do you want to be buried?
The Eighth Gate to Hell.
Duh.
Yes.
Look, it's reservations.
Is it extra?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't afford the Eighth Gate. Maybe the Sixth Gate to Hell. Oh. so funny, but I don't know how it got that name. I couldn't track it down. But
really?
There are many, many stories of Satanists
gathering
there. That could be it. There was just no evidence or implications at all.
What are the clues?
You're like, oh, obvious.
What are the clues? Why would they call it that?
Well, and the one person who went there, there was a pentagram on the ground.
Oh, God.
And also a watchkeeper had said there are people in dark robes.
But still, okay, we don't know why it's called the Eighth Gate.
Why? Out of thin air.
Okay. We may never know, Cece.
Go ahead and write in, Cece. If all you want to write is, oh my God, Paula.
No. This is good fodder.
I'm not to the point of dementia where I'm seeing people who aren't there. Soon. So the cemetery, though, so you know the Quakers are, they're called the Friends, and they're quiet people who build good furniture. That's all I really know about them.
Oh, we do? Okay, I'm like oatmeal.
Also oatmeal.
Okay.
The cemetery was created in the 1730s by a group of Quakers who supposedly believed the land possessed special powers. The story goes that they did not bury their dead there, but worshipped and performed various incantations. But it is a cemetery today. I mean, there are gravestones and all that.
Along with the pentagrams.
Along with the pentagrams. And some people said there was a place where no...
plants,
grass, nothing will grow in the earth in this area.
It just adds to the atmosphere.
The atmosphere.
Of the cemetery.
Of the cemetery.
Right.
The gates that give the place its unofficial Spider Gates name do look like spider webs, but they weren't added until the 1950s. Tragedy had stricken the cemetery, and this is a whole long, wild story that some people like, I don't know if that's true, and I couldn't find the name. There was a kid, a teenager, who hung himself there. Let me just get to the point of the story. God. Okay, that aside.
So that happened.
Okay, anyway, back to me. Well, he supposedly hung himself from one of the tall trees there in 1943. And then the gates... connected to that story were brought in the 1950s from the family of this boy who was of Greek descent. He was an artist, spending much of his time painting and drawing. So his family donated these decorative gates. And some people say because it's kind of a center and these wavy lines, so that's why they're called the spider gates. But some people say that they're radiating out from a sun.
So, I mean, you could interpret it in so many ways.
In so many ways, but it's called spider gates, we like that better.
It could represent the tingle in my asshole, so.
It could represent that. Does that radiate out in ways?
Because that really does feel like a visual.
I cannot even believe how the universe ties everything together.
Thank you, right?
Thank you, universe.
It's like the universe is our producer.
It really is.
Cece's like, I've had enough of your sphincter on my birthday episode.
You two are such buttholes.
She was eating cake.
It's like, I'm just going to set this down for later. And even my coffee isn't tasting as good anymore. Sorry. And my paintings are turning dark.
Sorry, not sorry.
I know, I don't know. She didn't say what kind of painter. If she paints, like, on a canvas or she paints walls.
Paint my sphincter.
Paint your sphincter? Like, actually...
Tingling.
Like,
no, like...
Like body art?
No. No!
What are you asking her to do with her paintbrush?
She's tuned off completely. And Rebecca's like regretting everything.
She's like, oh God, Cece's going to wonder why I hate her.
I paid for this shit.
Like, you knew what you were getting into, gals.
Damn it. Oh God.
Okay, so this kid hung himself. Okay. Back to the birthday celebration.
Let's lighten it up.
So his family donated the gates to signify the story of Arachne, that means spider, like arachnophobia is the fear of spiders.
Okay.
Arachne, a mythological character, was the daughter of the famous, famous Tyrian, a purple wool dyer in Hypeia of Lydia. I know I'm saying every single word
You know
wrong.
What? I applied for that job one time and I didn't get it.
Because you couldn't wool dye very well.
That's right.
I really think...
I dye in mostly blues, and they wanted purple, and I couldn't quite get it.
And he was the purple wool dyer. Right. They didn't want blue.
No. Mm-mm. They're like, get away, amateur.
We said purple. Fucking newbie. Due to her father's skill with cloth dyeing, Arachne became adept in the art of weaving. She became so good at the art that she considered herself to be a greater weaver than the goddess Athena. Haven't we talked about people? Like, why do you compete?
Don't challenge the gods.
I think I'm even better than the goddess Athena.
I know.
So she challenged her to a contest.
So Athena's like, excuse me. She pulls out her hoop earrings. What?
Bitch. Puts on her bigger hoop earrings to show where she's at.
Bitch, what?
Oh, you think you're better than me?
Snaps off her Lee press-on nails. She's ready to fucking fight.
Takes her wig off, puts it on the table next to her.
Like, that's how you know a fight was about to happen.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I have thought a wig would be really nice, but my own hair makes me so hot that I don't think I could wear a wig.
Oh, no. A wig is hot.
I would imagine.
Yeah.
And probably itchy. For me, I feel like it would be itchy.
Yeah.
Women look beautiful in them.
Yeah, but yeah.
But yeah. Ugh. Okay. Considered herself better than Athena. Challenged her to a weaving contest. In the end, Arachne's weaving was flawless, and she won the contest. Bad news.
But Athena's like straight
Athena's
up.
Not going to be like, oh, well done.
Yeah, right?
Shake her hands.
Brava. Women supporting women. Not happening with Athena.
Not with gods.
Yeah.
In a final moment of anger, Athena destroyed Arachne's tapestry. So.
Wow.
I did that once with a paint by numbers.
What?
I had this cousin. I had this aunt who everyone thought was so friendly, and she seemed friendly and that she laughed a lot. But she would do these little things to show favoritism. Like, it was kind of mean. Like, at Christmas, her grandchildren would get all these, like, lavish gifts. My sister and I were joking. We'd get these, like, tiny little Jean Nate gifts. Oh, I mean, it's horrible. Like, I don't know if you even... Jean Nate is, like, colored water with a horrible scent.
Right. Yeah. Like, you buy it at, like...
Like it was weird. But she always seemed friendly. Fun. Like, she didn't say me... She kind of said mean things. She would make fun of me for being shy or make fun of Yvonne's feet. Which Yvonne has perfectly normal feet, everyone. It's just, it was Aunt Minna who had the problem. But, yeah, so we were doing paint by numbers with my cousin Barbie, and Barbie was doing a really good job.
Her name was Barbie, too?
So Aunt Minna was commenting on how good of a job Barbie was doing, and I painted my whole cat gray. I obviously had my own issues.
No, but you were probably sick of her shit.
There, have you liked my now, Anna?
Compliment me.
I mean, the eyes, everything. It was just a great canvas.
Yeah, because I would be too. Like, especially like for Christmas, they're like, yay! And you're like, thanks for the toilet.
I mean, they had, besides all the toys and that, they would have, because she made these beautiful quilts, they would have handmade quilts out of the fabrics from different outfits she'd made for them. And then we would get her Jean Nate, and I'd be like, I just don't super feel included. Give me a paint by numbers and gray paint.
Call me crazy, but
I'm not feeling loved. Okay, that was a little, we went into the duffel bag.
Yeah. Well, it's always out.
It's always out.
It's always out.
How do you not reach in?
Exactly. It's just asking.
It's just asking. So.
It called out to you, remember the Gina Day.
You've never mentioned Aunt Minna, who's my mother's older sister.
Ugh. She was not a CC kind of person.
Oh, no. Aunt Minna was no CC. In retrospect.
Yeah.
Because everyone thought she was so nice. She would make these little dolls, and she'd pull everyone to the back bedroom to see the dolls she made, and she'd lift up their skirts, and they just had, like, genitalia.
What the?
I mean, not that it would be normal. Just be like, you know what? I believe in anatomically correct
but
dolls.
But to, like, get in the room, like, let me
come
show
see what
you
I did.
My stitch snatch.
But look on him, the stitch dick.
The stitch dick?
It's, yeah.
Oh my god. Anyways.
She was a funny gal.
I crocheted some balls.
I've been busy crafting.
Okay.
Okay, so.
Jesus.
Athena destroyed the tapestry and cursed Arachne to live with extreme guilt.
Okay.
Out of sadness, Arachne hanged herself. Taking pity on her, Athena brought her back to life, transformed as a spider, so she could live her life weaving a web.
Out of her ass. Thanks, Athena.
Right, that doesn't... Not nice.
But I don't have to go to the craft store.
Yeah, I know. So many people have found this cemetery. It's way... It's kind of by the airport because some people are like, you can hear planes passing by. But it's way back in the woods down a long road and there aren't good directions to it. So when you go into the cemetery, go to the back and there's a headstone among the many stories there. A headstone belonging to someone named Marmaduke Earl. There was no story of Marmaduke's life, but...
Except in the comics. Sorry.
So the giant dog Marmaduke, we now know his last name was Earl, with an E on the end. And there's a barren circle around his grave. The circle is a result of all the attempts to contact him. As the legend goes, if you walk around Marmaduke's gravestone, now all I can see is the big dog. You walk around his gravestone 10 times at midnight and say, Marmaduke, speak to me. Kneel down and put your head on the gravestone and listen that he will, in fact, speak to you.
Why was Marmaduke so special that people want him to talk?
There were no... I looked up so many encounters.
Like, who was Marmaduke?
No one said who he actually was.
So, listen, if I ever pass away...
Okay.
If I ever pass away, because...
You'll just go to another plane. You know how
correct.
It works.
Correct. I know how it works. Please don't do that. Listen, I like conversations.
Two, eight, I'd be like, at nine, five, I'm like, ten.
Really, Paula?
Elaine, speak to me. Put my head on that stone.
Fuck you.
I heard it. And another time, Boston-based a paranormal investigator, Sam Baltrusis, for sci-fi.com, he and his crew went to the cemetery and had this little experience there. They kept meeting this guy called they called him the gatekeeper, like he would appear and then suddenly be gone. This spot is literally in the middle of nowhere, he said. While we were there, my friend Liz dropped her keys along the path. At that moment, a man and woman popped out of the woods calling for her to pick up her keys.
No.
Then they were gone.
Oh, what?
Is that bizarre? I mean,
that's nice, but like it popping out of the woods?
It could just be Quakers. They're really weirdly silent people. I think their church services are silent.
What? How?
They can link up with God.
Oh.
So they can...
That's all you hear?
It is like the slobbery bites of oatmeal.
Of oatmeal. They're really silent people. Can you pick up your keys?
I know the microphone won't even pick up that. Dropped your keys. Baltrusis says the gatekeeper has been seen multiple times by multiple people and seems like he's from a different era.
Pause. What was her name?
The
girl that got the keys.
Liz dropped her keys. Baltrusis is the guy, the man who's a paranormal investigator.
And his name is Baltrusa.
His last name is Baltrusis.
Okay. I was like, wow.
Yeah, because what was his first name?
Maybe he's haunted.
Sam is his first name.
Earl!
Marmaduke. Another paranormal investigator and sensitive, Joni Mann, went to see what she could find there. And it was kind of weird, but she walked around, she turned on her spirit box, and we've mentioned this before, that uses radio signals. Sometimes you'll hear little bleeps of radio shows, but it kind of creates this place, this conduit for, you know, spirits to speak. She's had a lot of luck with it over the years, and she kept consistently getting a male voice. It's so funny that she wrote this up as her conclusion. So I asked him what he did for a living, and he said, government. I asked him if he was married, and a female voice came through. She said with a startling statement, but I was listening to it, and I could hear nothing in the woman's statement. And then the man said again, don't give in to it. She said she just feels like she was in the middle of an argument between the two ghosts.
Oh.
So government, you know, don't give in. Yeah. That's mostly white noise.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You know how, like, they say they have the residual spirits?
Yes.
Where they just keep doing or saying the same things over and over again.
Oh, yeah, so they could just be in this loop.
This loop.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. an argument loop? How
that'd be awful. Like, you can never divorce. You can never make up.
It's just, you're just arguing about the same fucking thing over and over again.
Government, don't give in to it. the cat's
She's
looking
like,
at
what's
us. You're probably hearing feet meow a little bit off and on. She's just wishing you a happy birthday, Cece.
Yeah.
And then one person said, I went there a few nights ago with four people. Something chased us out of there and it was not an animal. There was some sound and when we ran, it ran faster. Right when we crossed the water on the way out, the sound stopped and everything was fine, just like that.
Wow.
The last legend surrounding the cemetery speaks of a hidden cave where the body of a young girl was found. Most attempts to find the cave end in disappointment, as there are not really that many caves and not ones big enough for a body. Mm. However, about a mile down from the cemetery is a small cave once used as a root cellar where a 6-year-old boy was beaten by a teenager and dumped into the river in the 1980s. A lot happened in the 80s. According to Sci-Fi, the little boy was said to have been from the Nazareth Home for Boys. I know.
Poor little babies.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah. Okay, I just wanted to read the blurb from the Friends of the Cemetery.
Yeah.
So it's called the Friends Cemetery. That's the actual name, even though everyone calls
Spider
Gates.
Eighth level of hell.
Eighth gate of hell.
Sphincter Tingler.
Yeah, so those are just little nicknames.
Yeah, all right.
So it's currently in use, and this is from their website, owned and maintained by the Worcester Friends Meeting of the Religious Society of Friends, and that's the Quakers.
Yeah.
Anyone may visit the cemetery during daylight hours. We ask that all visitors, treat it well. Photographs can be taken for personal use, although everyone puts them all over the internet. Bicycles, vehicles, any vehicles are prohibited.
Yeah.
And then they say no trespassing in the cemetery after dark.
And leave Marmaduke alone.
And no paranormal. Where does it say it? But there was no paranormal activities, like investigation.
Oh. Allowed.
Investigation. Yeah, it's not assigned to the ghost.
Party poops.
But Spider Gate, so
it you may take be your oatmeal and shove it. Yeah, Quakers. No, I'm just kidding. Quakers are like tuning off.
I'm sure they're
like
listeners.
They're tuning in. I mean, that'd be interesting.
Yeah, I would love it if they would write in. They would just write in with a blank email because they're so quiet.
Do you think Cece would go with us to that cemetery?
Cece, it's not that far from, is Massachusetts very far from Pennsylvania?
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll meet up in Pennsylvania when we perform in Philadelphia and then let's road trip it to the Spider Gate Cemetery.
Oh my God, how fun.
Go with us. Rebecca can fly out and join us.
I'm going to go ahead and say yes for her.
Okay.
Good story. Cece, Paula.
Yes. We're listening.
So I was thinking to myself, like what things do I find creepy that most people are like, what the hell are you talking about? I think twins are a little creepy.
Twins are creepy.
Okay. It's probably all because of Stephen King and those fucking two twins.
And The Shining?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've known twins in my life and they've all been great. Nothing about them was particularly creepy.
Yeah, if you
creepy.
Have twins, Cece, we're sorry.
We're
but
sorry.
They're probably a little creepy.
Just a little. But I used to know Jennifer and Tammy. They lived across the street from me.
Ew.
And they were twins. And they did the thing where not only did they look alike, but they dressed alike.
Oh, God.
Which I like as, like, little kids, but then when they get older, it's like, okay, what's going on?
As they got older, did they keep dressing alike?
Well, I didn't know them past, like, sixth grade.
Oh, okay. But about 11, they were still
getting there.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyways, but nothing, I mean, God forbid they listen.
I know,
I'm like, sorry. But today I did find, like, has there ever been twins that are creepy? And there were the silent twins, Jennifer and I forgot the other names.
Yeah, I talked about...
They were a little creepy, and they're the most famous, like, twin of stories that they were silent, they had their own language.
Yes,
They went to jail for arson and all this stuff, and then one of them died when they decided.
Yes, I think that was part of one of my stories, right?
Yes, it was part of one of your stories. But one I had never heard of.
Okay.
And I can't believe I haven't heard of it, because it is a shitballs fucking crazy story. So, my sources are crack.com, vice.com, and of course, good old Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sabina Eriksson and her identical twin sister, Ursula Eriksson, they were born in Sweden. November 3rd, 1967. They grew up in Sunvarmland. I don't know. Swedish twins, had no history of mental illness, okay. lived normal, happy lives. They listened to ABBA, sat on IKEA furniture, and ate lots of Swedish meatballs.
I was going to say those delicious meatballs you're talking about.
Wait, that's my dream Swedish life.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm assuming that's what they did because that's sure. what I would do. So Ursula, by 2000, by early 2000, uh-huh. Ursula was living in the United States, and Sabina was living in Mallow, County Cork, Ireland. Ireland, with her partner and two children. It was all dandy as fuck. Till one day, Ursula decided to go to Ireland to... So, wait, was Ursula the one? Oh, yeah, she lived in the United States. Ursula decided to go to Ireland to visit her sister, Sabina.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened after that... was batshit crazy.
Oh, I'm so excited.
So according to Wiki, this is the kind of general agreed upon story.
Okay.
Ursula went there May 16th, 2008. But for reasons that were unclear, the sisters secretly departed from Sabina's home to Liverpool, England.
Okay.
So they probably, they said...
And they're like around 50 or 51 by then, right? Wait, 67?
Are you... giving me a math problem?
Or maybe they're 40-something. No, I can't. Why did I even do that?
They're 40-something.
67, 77, 87, 97, 2000s. Yeah, so
40s. Yeah. Yeah. So they said they probably traveled by ferry, and then they arrived in Liverpool at like 8:30 a.m. on a Saturday.
Okay.
And went straight to the St. Ann Street police station, apparently in order to report concerns over the safety of Sabina's children.
Whoa.
Why they wouldn't go to Ireland and tell the police?
That's bizarre.
Mm-hmm. And that's just the beginning of the roller coaster. You're just, you know how you go up the roller coaster and it goes click, click. You're only on like the second click.
Ooh.
For room. Cece, brace yourself. It's about to get insane. So Liverpool police are like, okay. So they contacted Dublin police who said, yeah, that's cool. We'll follow up on it. Because they learned that Sabina had had a fight with her partner the previous night. So maybe that's why they left.
But they were in Liverpool by this point?
They were in Liverpool.
And that's England, right?
Yes. So if you look at where Cork is...
I took the ferry across there once.
From Ireland to Liverpool. Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. So yeah. So that's... they ended up there.
Okay.
And then at around 11:30 a.m. in the morning, they went and they boarded a National Express coach headed to London, a bus.
Okay.
The police report stated the twins... suddenly disembarked the bus at Keel Services, which was like a service station because they weren't feeling well. The driver of the bus, however, said he left them there because even though it wasn't a scheduled stop for that bus, at around 1 p.m., he became suspicious of their behavior.
Ooh.
He noticed they were like clinging to their bags tightly. And then when he pulled over, he didn't let them reboard because they refused to let him search the bags.
Oh, my God.
For illegal items. And the manager at the service station was informed about what had happened. Mm-hmm. And he was also kind of feeling suspicious about them and their fixation with this bag. So she called the police. Officers arrived, talked to them, and they were like, eh, they're harmless. But didn't search their bag.
Oh, God. Why didn't they search their bags?
I don't know. But I guess they were just like... they didn't have any evidence except for the fact that they were suspicious. I don't know. The police here would have found a fucking way.
Oh, yeah.
Because they find a way even if it's not
your tail in your face.
Oh, it's okay. It's so soft. So they get kicked out of the bus. They start just walking the motorway, which highway.
Oh, my gosh.
In
the middle of the road.
And here's the thing. Everything was caught on camera, and I will fucking show you. It's insane. It's insane. Cece, are you still with me? Take a deep breath.
Definitely.
So they're walking, okay? And one of them walks out into traffic.
Ooh.
And, you know, of course there was a melee. So
A melee. I love that word.
And I think one of them got like, or one of them got hit or the car hit some other car. So the cops were called, okay?
Oh, man. Okay.
So at this time... they were also filming like a cops show.
Whoa.
Called Motorway something or other. Well, let me look. blah, blah, blah. I forgot what it was called. Motorway something.
The British are so different from Americans. Like, cops, what you gonna do when they come for you?
And it's like,
hey, they're like, motorway. The motorway. Motorway mishap.
Yeah, that's right. So they get there, and that's why it was like, captured all on camera.
Oh.
So I didn't even write this down, because I wanted to tell it from what I saw.
Yeah.
So they get there, and they're talking to the two sisters. They're fine, apparently.
Okay.
And it seemed like they were fine, and Sabina was smoking a cigarette, and in the middle of everything, fucking Ursula yells, they're gonna steal your organs, and busts out into the fucking road and gets waylaid by a truck. Shit. And you see her spinning, fucking shoe falls off. And as she's getting ran over...
Oh, my God. The cop show must have not been able... their luck of getting such a rating job.
This is true. But... And you would think it was set up, but it was not set up.
Oh, man.
Because she's getting ran over. But as she's getting ran over, now Sabina busts out and runs.
Oh, no. Into traffic?
Into traffic. And she gets hit. And she flies. Right?
Whoa.
Oh, dude. It was... insane.
You'd think the truck accident would have slowed traffic down.
Well, no, it was within seconds.
Yeah, so everything was still moving.
Yeah, like...
Oh, my God.
Like, Sabina was probably still rolling. No, I'm sorry. Ursula was probably still rolling, and Sabina went.
Shit.
So they were freaking out about Ursula, and then Sabina went. Okay, so they fucking stopped traffic. Ursula is... Her legs are crushed.
Oh.
And she is...
Was she still alive?
No, she was alive.
So
she
God.
She was unconscious. Sabina was unconscious, too, for like 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And then she started coming, too. Right?
Yeah.
And when she came, too, she started to stand up. So nothing was wrong with
her. Was she able to stand?
Girl. Girl. Not only was she able to stand... So the police, the lady cop was like, you need to sit down, you need to stand. She gets up and she's all, you could tell the cop was like, how the fuck is she standing up? Then she starts taking off. So the cop
was like. Was she in the road?
Yes, they're in the middle of the fucking highway. But the highway has been stopped.
Yeah, by then.
Okay, so she starts taking off. The cop was like, no, and was grabbing her. Sabina turns around and fucking socks the cop, the lady cop. Because she was like, I need the police. I need the police. They're like, we are the police.
Oh, no.
And she's, I mean, you could hear it. And she
did
falls.
The cop? Oh, the cop she did.
Fell to the ground, right? And but, I mean, she got up. But this time, Sabina goes across the divider to more oncoming traffic.
Oh.
So the other chick is like telling the traffic to stop. Like six guys go to get her. And they were still having a hard time.
Oh.
Like, they said her strength was insane. Like, they were just... So...
Oh, my God. What was wrong with them? Were they possessed?
We don't know.
We don't know.
Let's get to the what happened. They both survived, okay? It's... Yes, it's fucking
crazy. Ursula still walk?
No. She went to the hospital.
Okay, because her legs were crushed.
Her legs were crushed. I mean, she got completely... not only did she... Get hit by a car. Yeah. But it wasn't a car. It was a truck.
Oh, my God.
But the fact that she survived that. But Sabina, the fact that she went head over heels over a car.
And then got up.
And got up, hit a cop, and was forcibly, like,
you might hear a drill going in the distance. It sounds like they're doing repair work.
Yeah, it's not me. Like, excuse me. No, but, you can see that the guys are like, a couple guys almost got hit in the face because she was flailing her legs.
Oh, man.
I was sitting there watching it like this.
But she leaves her sister to go climb over the...
Dude, she had no... First of all, when her sister got hit, it didn't even fucking faze her.
So she went running because
she went
like,
running off.
They're gonna steal your organs.
Yeah,
they both run for the traffic.
Right. It's not over, girl. So both survived. Ursula was immobilized as the lorry had crushed her legs.
Oh, the lorry!
The lorry. Sabina, like I said, spent 15 minutes unconscious. Yeah. Okay, we got to that. Blah blah blah. Okay, so Sabina starts screaming for help. Okay, hit an officer in the face, blah, blah, blah.
I know, blah, blah, blah happens every day.
Okay, right? So, she was finally restrained, It was both emergency workers, the public, part of some of people helped, and cops. She was carried to an ambulance, and she was handcuffed and sedated.
Thank God.
Right? And now, given the similarities in their behaviors, they thought drugs, obviously, quickly suspected, and a suicide pact. Oh. And Sabina, the fact that she suddenly had superpowers. Ursula was taken to the ambulance. Sabina was taken to a hospital where, despite her ordeal and apparent lack of concern over her sister's injury, she soon became calmer and controlled.
Well, once you get it out of your system.
For real. No, no, no. Girl, what did I tell you? It ain't over. We're starting to go down the roller coaster. But we haven't
built up speed.
There's a loop happening. There's going to be a loop.
And whatever happened to her children that they reported concern? Did they come back into the story?
Well, I'll tell you right now, nothing happened. Nothing happened of them.
Okay.
So when she was in custody, they had, again, she was on camera. She looked relaxed as she was being processed. And then, like, this one lady was like, okay, we need you to take off your shoes. It's like, oh my God, my feet are so dirty. And she's like, I only have one sock. And the lady was like, that's fine. She's like, okay, but, like, plug your nose. Like, super. Ha ha ha.
Wow.
I never attacked anybody. I never, like, super catch. And then she said, as she's getting processed.
Yeah.
She said, we say in Sweden that an accident rarely comes alone. Usually at least one more follows, maybe two. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is called foreshadowing.
Ooh.
So on May 19th, May 19th. Okay, sorry. On that day, I don't know the date. The dates are crazy right now. Okay. So on the day that she was processed, Sabina was released from...
Why don't they just keep acting like she's okay?
Thank you! She was released. No psychiatric evaluation.
Oh, the British are way too polite.
Fuck, yes. She said she's fine. An officer. Straight up.
She ran into traffic. She ran into traffic again, climbing over the median. She struck an officer, was acting erratic on the bus to the point that the bus driver wouldn't travel with them.
Yes. So they said the court sentenced her to one day in custody, which she had been deemed to have served. And then, so she spent a full night at police custody.
Okay.
And then they released her.
Oh, come on.
So here's what happens. So she's wandering around looking for the hospital her sister was in. Okay. Why they didn't tell her where the fucking hospital was?
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Two local guys saw her. They were walking a dog, and Sabina, like, appeared friendly and was petting the dog, but they did notice that she
We don't know why she has only one sock and appears to have dirty ankles.
Right? But she was looking around, like, nervously.
Oh. Okay.
One of the guys, Glenn, so she was like, is there a hotel I could go to? And one of the guys, I guess he was an ex-paramedic or something, don't quote me on that. Mm-hmm. He was like, just come to my house, you know, like he was really concerned about her. And the other guy friend went with him. And as they were in the living room, she, again, seemed very friendly and calm, even offered them cigarettes, but then did some weird thing where they would take the cigarettes, they put it in their mouths, and she swiped them out of their mouths and said, wait, those might be poisoned.
They might have some poison.
They have some poison. Oh, God. So Hollins felt really bad for her. So she spent the night. Next day, he's cooking breakfast. And he was going to try and locate the hospital. So he's making phone calls for her to find where the sister is.
So they let her spend the night?
So the guy, the second guy left because that was in his house.
Yeah.
Glenn let her spend the night.
God, I would have been scared. I mean, once someone slaps a cigarette out of your mouth.
And is acting cuckoo because she.
I mean, you're not going to want to sleep with them in your house.
Like, God bless this guy. But she said she would constantly get up and look out the window and was paranoid. Like, what the...
No.
But I guess he's thinking he's a guy and it's okay. Like, if something were to happen, he could handle it. I don't know.
Well, that's
I guess
stupid.
His heart just went out to her. So the next day, he's calling around trying to locate the hospital, and she seemed fine.
Okay.
And he was like, hey, I'm going to go next door and borrow some tea bags from the neighbor. How English.
How English. But I can't believe he ran out of tea.
I know. How that's not that's English. That's not English. But when he came back, Sabina stabbed him and killed him.
I mean, come on. She slapped cigarettes out of his mouth and out of his friend's mouth.
Don't victim blame.
Was she...
He went... He staggered to his neighbors.
I bet she was pretty. I bet there was something she wasn't even... Okay.
I mean, she had blonde hair, but she was methy looking. So he staggered to... No, and he was kind of an older guy. Like, he seemed like he was trying
No, he had good intentions, he had good intentions. But really I just did. Don't know what he expected to happen. Like, you can't be in denial to the point... Where you get stabbed and killed.
But he staggered to his... This is really sad. He staggered to his neighbors and allegedly said, she stabbed me. And his last words were, please take care of my dog.
So he even had a dog in the house and he let this crazy person stay. Also, here's your tea back. I won't be needing it.
How dare you? Cece, can we...
Oh, I'm sorry, Cece.
This is what your friend signed you up for. I don't know now. I don't know. So, anyways, I don't mean to laugh at the situation, but fuck.
I mean, come
on. The neighbor called 999-911.
Okay.
Sabina fled the premises.
Which upside down is 666.
Oh, no shit. And she was caught on the run by nearby CCTV. She ran out of the house with a hammer, periodically hitting herself over the head with it.
Oh, shit.
Right. Passing motorists saw this and decided to tackle her in an attempt to control the hammer. And while wrestling him...
attempting to control the hammer. When has that ever been successful?
While wrestling him, Sabina screamed and took a roof tile out of her pocket. Because, you know...
Out of her pocket.
I have my roof tiles in my purse, but whatever.
Right, I would have expected it in the clutched purses.
Out of her pocket and struck him on the back of the head with it, stunning him temporarily. By this time, I'm telling you, by this time paramedics had found her and gave chase. The pursuit ended at Heron Cross when Sabina jumped from a 40-foot high, 12 meters, from a 40-foot high bridge onto the A50. She broke both ankles fractured her skull in the fall, and she was taken to the hospital.
God, tell me she didn't survive that.
She survived! Oh. Girl! Sabina was charged with murder of Glenn Hollingston Hollingstead. Yeah. Sabina said no comment to the question given to her about, like, why did you do this? Why did you do... No comment. She pleaded not guilty to murder. She pleaded guilty to a substantial lesser charge.
So she had some awareness.
Here's the crazy fucking explanation. So she pleaded not guilty to murder. The trial date was postponed, rescheduled, but never went to trial because she pleaded guilty of manslaughter, which was a lesser charge.
Well, manslaughter means there was not the intent to kill.
That's exactly what she's saying.
She just meant to stab him up. I am displeased
too. I mean, there were so many mistakes. And when asked to explain her action, like I said, she simply said no comment. The prosecution and defense, both of their psychiatrists that they assigned to her, said that Sabina was mentally ill at the time of the killing, but not right now.
Oh, come
on. So she had this, like, what they were saying, kind of a puff of mental delusion.
I'm so frustrated with these people.
Ugh. And that she was a second... Okay. And then they said she was induced with a delusional disorder and called it... She's a secondary sufferer of folie à deux, which sounds...
What is that, like God plants? Like, what does that mean?
It sounds like flowers that smell like
the
poo.
The foliage of God.
It's a shared psychosis. Shared delusional...
Oh, two people.
Right. Influenced by the presence or perceived presence of her twin sister, Ursula, who was the primary sufferer. So they're blaming Ursula for the whole thing.
Well, so then they need to kill one of the twins.
or just do the simple fact of putting them in a mental institution.
Right.
The court also heard that she had suffered from a rare psychiatric disorder, which made her hear voices. Ursula, not Sabina. Ursula supposedly had heard voices but could not interpret what they said. And
she did. They're going to steal your organs. That's an interpretation.
Right? Right? I mean, it couldn't be any clearer, for Christ's sake. So the condition was rare. And later, psychiatrists, surgeons, social workers who checked on her said she showed no obvious signs of mental or psychological illness.
Please.
She just had a psychotic episode, a puff of madness.
Okay, but when you have psychotic episodes that can't be...
Yeah, determined.
You can't walk around like, oh, it's not her fault. Like, exactly. Oh, she just killed my baby. No, you don't know her backstory.
Exactly.
I'm like, oh, thank you.
You're right. It's my bad.
It's fine.
And not only that, it wasn't just walking out into traffic and hurting herself. She murdered someone, so maybe...
Maybe lock her up. That's when you can actually say that.
Right. So they were thinking maybe she was on medication and it was gone by the time she was assessed. But no, I'm sorry. The medication they gave her, some people are saying she was so calm because when she jumped off the bridge, the medication that they gave her made her super calm. I don't know. Ugh. Forensic psychiatrist never assessed Ursula, who was released.
Ursula was released?
After she healed. She made a full recovery. She was released.
She could even walk again?
I don't know.
What kind of magical doctors do they have over there?
This is how fucked up it is. She was never assessed. Both defense and prosecution said Sabina made a full recovery. And that meant the judge...
Sabina did.
And the judge couldn't send her to... Nothing was ever said of Ursula.
Oh, so we don't know about Ursula. I was thinking her crushed legs healed. No. But we don't know.
Sabina made a full recovery. Okay. Like, mentally. Okay. That she was fine. So that meant the judge... So the judge's hands were tied. The judge couldn't send her to a secure mental hospital because she was no longer mentally ill.
Well, that's just dumb.
Dumb. Judge was thinking about sending her... giving her a sentence with no fixed release date... So freed only when they deemed her safe, but he couldn't...
So far, no one has deemed her correctly anything.
Exactly. He couldn't do that because no one considered her a risk to the public. Both defense and prosecution psychiatrists deemed her low risk.
The prosecution?
Both of them.
It's like, it's fine.
It's fine. By law, the judge had to give her a fixed sentence. With no monitoring or checkups necessary after her release. But with that, the judge only gave her 5 years. Ugh. She murdered somebody. And she served only 2.5 years of her sentence.
Oh.
She was released and she returned to Sweden.
And do we know what happened?
No. Ursula back to America. And no one was charged with anything. Everything was fine. No one knows. Here it is.
I hope the neighbors took that dog.
I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did. They're like, what was your dying wish? Nah.
Sorry. Sorry. You rather owe us because we've got bloody tea bags
on hand. We got the tea bags back. No one knows what happened to them. They had no drugs in their system.
They had no drugs.
As for exactly what happened that set off the bizarre chain of events, it remains a mystery. When asked for a possible explanation, Detective Superintendent Dave Garrett had this to say. The reasons for the two events may never be truly known or understood, but the taking of Glenn's life was a violent and senseless act. But also, what the fuck, police? The minute that they were acting suspicious on the bus?
Yes.
Okay, even if they let that go. The running in the traffic.
No, there were warning flags all the way. And if they were reporting concerns about the safety of the children, that must have seemed abnormal, too. Because if the children were fine and they were in Liverpool, they'd gone to England, they weren't going to come back. I mean, what mother just goes, hey, yeah. I'm on a road trip, but yeah. Could you check on the kids? I'm going to get on the bus.
And if she had concerns about the children's welfare, why wouldn't you immediately go to the police in Dublin, Ireland? Why would you take a ferry to fucking London?
Well, they were in Liverpool by then, though, right? When they made the call.
Exactly. Why didn't they go
to Liverpool?
No.
Police.
Okay, so they lived in Ireland. Yes. If something was happening to your children, why not go to the police?
While you were still in Ireland.
In Ireland.
So it didn't dawn on them. I was thinking it dawned on them in Liverpool, but they were
that something afraid. Happened to the children?
Well, that makes as much sense as every other part of this story. Don't you come at me with that!
Don't let the story be turn us against each other. I'm going to run into traffic.
I'm out.
Where's the hammer?
I would have to stand in the middle of the road. Listen,
if I had a roof tile, every time... No,
people probably wouldn't even honk. honk at me in Morro Bay if I stood in the middle of the road. They'd be like, hey, honey, is everything okay? And they just keep on going.
No, they would just like, yeah. Because
they would,
everybody,
they would weave around.
Because everybody walks into fucking traffic here. I'm sorry.
No,
but
that's the truth. Hell? No, because I had a guy yell at me.
What?
This was a while back, before COVID. But, I mean, within the last year, I was driving. It was some event day. Like, people were every freaking where. And everywhere I went, I'd have to stop because people crossing the road.
Yeah.
Even if you're using the crosswalk, you can't just willy-nilly keep a car from ever being able to move. So I was heading toward the rock, and they were crossing without a crosswalk. This family. By then, I had this happen many times.
Right.
And I slowed down, and they were walking, but kind of taking their time. So I was just creeping, waiting for them. There's plenty of space. And the guy looked at me, and he was like, and we with kids with them. And I was like,
ew.
I gestured back, like, what? Like, what do you want? And then he saw me at the rock park, and he came and confronted me.
What the fuck?
I had my windows down, because I was sitting at the rock, just looking at the ocean. And he's like, so nice driving. You want to, I was crossing the roads with my family. I'm like, I said, you were never in danger. I said, why didn't you wait for there to be no traffic or use a crosswalk, for God's
right.
sake? Right. I said, I never, like, I don't even understand what your complaint is.
First of all, back the fuck up.
Yes.
Ugh.
And he's like, yeah, I know people in this town. I felt like, oh my God.
You
like,
know
what
people
is,
in this town?
I mean, for a while.
Dude.
That's when I took off my, because he recognized because the magnet. I mean, there's my Prius.
Yeah.
I had the magnet on. Oh. Wait, what? And I took it off for a while, but then it got all weird shaped.
No, it's fine. Oh,
but
my
it,
God.
But that's when I took it off because I was like, oh my God, is he going to like do something to my car?
Ew.
But I never have seen him. As, you know, he's probably just some asshole.
If I had a roof tile.
Yeah, well, if I had a roof tile and a hammer, I freaking wield it at that guy.
Bam! Overhead.
Are you going to steal my organs?
But anyways, to conclude, their older brother, for some reason, said they were pursued by maniacs.
Whoa.
Someone should look in on my older brother. There is no information before or after the incident on the twins. No family, friends, associates, work colleagues, neighbors have come forward to speak on them and their strange behavior. It almost seems like it's a cover-up.
Yeah.
And everyone is ushered to keep quiet. MK Ultra. So I went to Reddit just in general to see what people were saying.
Yes, yeah.
And then somebody was like, if the court decided they do not know what caused this episode, then how did they deem the murderer twin as no longer a risk to society?
Mm.
How can they rule out that another episode will not strike again if they do not claim to know what it is? Good fucking point. So one Reddit user said, I believe they were suffering from schizophrenia. Ties into the delusional paranoid ideation?
Yeah.
That about not believing the police officer was real and thinking someone was trying to steal their organs. In terms of the unusual physical resilience, I could see, because everyone was like, how the fuck, right? Because she got ran over.
Yeah.
I could see this being plausible in context of a psychotic break. There are documented cases of folks on bath salts or in trauma situations or mothers protecting their children from serious
physical strength. Yeah.
Adrenaline seems to be a powerful drug. Tying this back to the schizophrenia theory, I know a girl personally had Cotard's syndrome for 2 years. Is that how you say it?
I don't know.
She believed she was dead, so she believed she did not need to eat or sleep. And didn't. She was, of course, sectioned at various points. She's fine now. My point being, really significant delusions made her believe she had no biological need to eat or sleep. And this delusion was powerful enough to overcome biological impotence.
I mean, perception is everything.
Right.
You know, whether it's delusional or not. Like, it's manifesting good things.
It's the placebo effect. Mm-hmm. When your brain fucking believes
it. If you believe
it
is true.
Right. To its very core.
Yeah.
The body almost physically starts to adjust.
Mm-hmm.
So she says if the twins believed randomly selected nonsense, their bones were made of titanium, right? Because they were robots built by the government. There would be no need to perceive fear of physical pain and would push through it as a state of mind rather than really perceiving the pain as any of us would. I know that environmental factors such as nurture and attachment disorder can lead to the occurrence of mental illness. With the Erickson's twin case, and she says, and maybe it's unfair, I nearly view them as one person. I think the folie à deux theory holds up in context that one or both suffered from schizophrenia.
Oh, I get it. Folie. I'm hearing like the words for the first time.
Folie.
Yeah.
Adieu. One might have started off.
It's like folly, you know?
Yeah.
Like, silliness.
One might have started off down a route of poor mental health and brought the other down with her. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I dare say if we researched it enough, we might find an environmental trigger point, i.e. a sudden bereavement or loss that the two shared, which precipitated these events, something that might explain why they did what
yeah.
they did. So that's my fucking crazy story, Cece.
Cece, how are you feeling how right now? How are
you
feeling?
You better write to us. We're going to do a well check on you on that Erickson
yeah,
twins.
We need to do a well
check. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. You and Rebecca are like twins. Don't get crazy.
Oh my God. Isn't that insane? And I have to show you the video.
Please show me the video.
And I'll go ahead and keep recording. If it's too long, I'll take it out, but...
Yeah, let's get our reactions to the video. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I'm dying to see it. Dying to see it.
Not me. See. So Cracked actually wrote a thing about it, and that's where that's where I saw the video.
Okay.
Because it was crazy. Open the link. Okay.
Okay.
It's crazy.
Here we go.
So.
Oh, not, okay.
Put another nickel in the Nickelodeon. All I want is loving you and music.
I'm singing that for Cece while we wait for the video.
Happy birthday to you.
I'm probably going to take most stuff out.
Leave it in.
Leave it in.
Happy Birthday is one of the hardest songs to sing for me.
Is it?
I can't reach all the
Happy
levels.
Happy birthday to you. Feliz cumpleaños a ti. Estas son las mañanitas. Ba, ba, ba. Ba, do, do, do. Okay. Okay. Cameras captured every batshit moment.
Okay.
Always a good. But here.
A highways agency patrol unit is on its way. But as okay. they approach,
that's them walking.
Into the fast lane.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah, the cars are swerving madly.
This is turning into a serious incident.
That's a major highway. Three lanes in each direction.
Mm-hmm. Major highway.
As the cops arrive, the situation appears calm. Incredibly, the two women seem to be uninjured.
Can you see it?
Yeah.
So they're like, la la la.
Whoops. Yeah. Is this the woman cop who's going to get punched in the face?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's her.
Actually, gone on where these women had actually come from.
Right. What we've got is they were in the central.
Oh man, she's wearing this long red coat. No,
exactly.
Visor. Smoking.
Okay, so they're just describing to each other what's happened.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, this gives me the chills of what I'm about to see.
So they're like, what had happened? Yeah. So they had already been hit.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a doctor. She has been knocked down.
Is she the one that speaks English or the other one?
Yes.
Right.
And now she goes running across.
My counsel.
Oh, yeah, there's her something. Everyone's squealing to a halt. God, you could see her rolling.
As she ran out, he tried to grab her instinctively. Luckily for him, her jacket came off, or else he'd potentially have been in the carriageway as well. She was obviously struck by the HGV. Once the first girl had run out, the second one, for some reason, also decided she was going to run out into the traffic as well.
Yeah, she just ran straight out.
Yeah, she didn't even look at her sister.
For the first one.
You can't believe that two people have just done that in front of you.
It's okay, Nana, stay where you are. Stay.
It's now a major incident. And we need backup. And we need backup to
us. The British. It's now a major incident.
Both females have run out into the carriageway.
Oh, God.
First female has been hit by HGV in lane 2.
Oh, man. Okay. So she's bending down. The female cop is bending down.
So she's screaming.
Oh, man.
I think it's Ursula. Or Sabina? That's Ursula.
Okay.
Because right now, Sabina's unconscious. She was unconscious for she was unconscious for 14 minutes.
Oh, yes. Okay.
She's unconscious initially.
Okay.
I mean, you can see the damage to the vehicle, the windscreen. And
look at that
shit. The whole top of the vehicle smashed.
When they've had an impact like that.
I'm trying to make sure you're okay.
Right.
Where's Paul?
She got up like nothing.
Right, she's just standing up. She's all the way up. She's resisting the officer. The officer's really trying to... Oh, shit.
She
really got her. They're trying to get traffic to stop in the other lane. Oh, they're getting them.
The only time I've dealt with people with similar strength are those people that have been on drugs or the influence of alcohol.
Oh, man. She's running out again.
And then she wants to square up.
Oh, my God. Oh, I see. She's about to go over that railing. Oh, yeah, she took off her...
Yeah, like she's going to fucking kick ass.
Mm-hmm. They keep identifying themselves, but she's out of it. I mean, it doesn't mean anything to her.
...to be a retired police officer who offered his assistance, which was gratefully accepted.
And two?
We thought we'd be able to restrain with three of us, but the strength was just phenomenal.
I mean, that's a crowd.
Yeah. Oh, God, she's like kicking all the way up to their faces.
Some people were very close to being kicked full force in the face.
Mm-hmm. If she had weight belt in the bottom of her shoe.
It's a missed opportunity, really.
Turn it. Oh my God. Gosh, she's just screaming.
Six
people. And these are trained people.
Call the police.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, by the way, she also said, I know who you are.
Oh, yeah, so
she's out of it.
Delusional. Oh,
she's had a serious to a point was actually getting a resuscitate out at one point because she was unconscious and we thought she may stop breathing. And she's gone from that.
So, that's
basically... Oh, my God.
If you change your mind, I'm the first in line.
I don't know. It's sweet.
Take a chance on me. Do my very best.
Ain't no lie.
Happy birthday to Cece.
Did we make you cry? All right, you guys. That wraps up our very special episode for Cece. So thank you so much for joining us.
Happy birthday. Happy, Rebecca happy birthday. Loves you. We love you now.
And we'll see you next Friday, folks. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Wait, What?
And remember, you can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and you've got to meet our intern, Sarah. She's all over TikTok.
And you can find all this on our website on waitwhatpodcast.com with three A's.